Well, good morning, everybody. We're going to try something here. You got the banjo tuned up there, Frosty? You know how long it takes to tune a banjo? They don't know. It's never been done. What a musician, what a singer, what a shame.
Yeah, there it is.
Consider the lilies, they don't toil.
Thank you, Larry, Lauren, and Frosty. Great song, biblical song. Jesus told his disciples not to worry, just consider the lilies. And thank you for singing that song this morning. Great song. Beth, who do you have sitting there beside of you?
That's Teresa from
last week. Oh, Teresa. Yes, glad to have you, Teresa. Glad to have you. My ears are bad. My eyes are bad. My knees are bad. My hips are bad. But other than that, I'm pretty good shape. Glad to have you, Teresa. As Frosty announced, Juanita McKnight did pass away unexpectedly. The family was in this morning to talk to me. Arrangements will be made tomorrow at the Bullendykes funeral home. They don't even know if they're going to have a service. So that's where she's held. That's where she's at the Bullendykes around for Blue. So keep the family in prayer. And many others sick, ill in our church. And glad to have Dean back with us. Went through surgery and doing well. Looking good. Glad to have you back with us this morning. All right. Junior Church can be dismissed at this time. And Darian and Marquis, underneath this guitar up here, you find some papers. Would you come up? You be careful. That's Larry Prouty's guitar. He cherishes that more than he does his life. Just divide them up or among you. These are the condensed prayer and praise from the month of May. Again, we want to thank Lynn for doing this for us every month. We hand those out. We are a little concerned that we're not hearing from several of our missionaries again. Unfortunately, some of our missionaries are using the COVID as an excuse not to send the prayer letter. And some of our missionaries we have not heard from in well over a year. Nothing. So we're going to have to get on them and try to get them back to writing to us and letting us know what's going on. Now, I have a thank you note here I want to read this morning. This is from our recent missionary we just took on, Lovely Patrol. She left the United States after 5 years being here in this country. She left Friday morning, flew out of Columbus. And all that I know is I got a notice on Facebook that she had landed in Tokyo and waiting a flight down to Manila, which is about 5 hours. So we assume she's back in the Philippines. That was yesterday. And but before she left, she wrote a thank you note. Now, our church, on the spur of the moment, when I found out her expenses and everything, without being planned or without being told, just announcing on a Sunday morning that we were going to take a special offering for her Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's been back 2 or 3 weeks ago. And our church gave her, on a one-day, unannounced, unplanned offering, $1,450. That's the most we ever took up in a one-day offering. And all offerings are pre-announced and everything. And so Men and I talked, and we decided to put with that another $550 from our missions account number two. And so we gave her a check, two checks, one the love offering and the other one from the mission, for $2,000 we gave her. So I wrote her a little text on her phone and told her what we had done, and she sent me back a face with tears running down her. And I told her, this church loves you, we stand behind you, and we're here to help you at any time. So when she left on Friday, she left a note down at the office, and I'll be reading that this morning. Pray for her. She's got to readjust. She came over here, she was 18 years old. She spent 5 years here in this country, away from her family, away from her country, away from her culture. You know, 5 years is a long time. She came to this country and learned our culture, learned our way of life and everything. A big adjustment for a young 18-year-old girl. And now she's got to go back after being here, and she's got to readjust to the Philippine culture and the heat. Right now, you couldn't breathe. The heat and the humidity is so high in June. It's one of the most miserable months in the Philippines is June. So she's got to readjust over there a lot. But she was looking forward to getting back, getting busy. So keep her in your prayers in the days ahead. First Baptist Church families and friends, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you are well. Just want to say thank you, all capital letter, for being a blessing to me, for allowing me to share my burden that God has given me in my heart for the lost in your missions conference. Also for taking me on for support as one of your missionaries, and for helping me for my travel expense that you gave me last week. I am grateful for all of you. I just thank God for your gift and life. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I pray that He will continue to bless you and keep you all safe and healthy. Please do continue to pray for me too. Again, thank you so much, First Baptist Church families, and also to you, Pastor Offenberger. May the Lord bless you. I love you all. In the Lord, love and prayers. Lovely Patro, your missionary to the Philippines. So do please keep her in prayer. We will have tonight after the evening service a short deacons meeting. Won't be long. We won't need to discuss two things tonight. So deacons meeting tonight after the evening service. Now, today is the Lord's table, first Sunday of, can you believe it? First Sunday of June. And the year is going by quickly. So in light of the Lord's table being observed today, my message, first of all, comes from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is about the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law. There was the moral law, and there was the ceremonial law, and there was the social law. This is the ceremonial law. It had to do with the sacrifices, the priesthood, and all the functions that was to take place in the tabernacle, in the temple. Now, as you're turning there in Leviticus chapter 17, on the night that God took Israel out of Egypt, He gave them instructions. Every family have a lamb. Slay the lamb. Take the blood from the lamb and put it on the doorpost of your houses. A death angel is coming through the land of Egypt tonight. On every house where I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where we get the word Passover. Isn't it a wonderful thing today to know that death is going to pass over us? So the blood had to be applied at the proper place. And if it was there by faith and put there by faith, the death angel would pass over. At the same time, every home that did not have the blood, there would be death. There would be death. So that was the instructions. If you want to be delivered, you want to be taken out of bondage and out of captivity, take the lamb, apply the blood, and when the death angel comes through, I will see the blood and I will pass over you. I was given in Exodus chapter 12. We're not going to turn back there. Then when Moses wrote the book of Leviticus, a lot of what they did that night comes under explanation. God explains why they did what they did. We don't always understand what we do when we do it. But thank God, through the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that in time we will understand, and it will come to our heart of understanding as to why we do what we do. And unfortunately, with our human frailties, some that we do we'll never know until we get to heaven. But we will know fully when we get there. Now, when you come to Leviticus 17, the blood is explained. The blood. I've been asked over the past 43 years since I've been saved, often, why did God use such a gory system? Why blood and bloodshed and death? Why did God use such a gory, ugly? I said, because sin is ugly. Sin is ugly. And you can think with me for just a moment in your mind, as this was eventually the tabernacle erected. This took place every day, in the morning, in the evening. Animals were slain, blood was shed, death occurred every day in the tabernacle, and then eventually in the temple as it was built by Solomon in Jerusalem. So these are in Leviticus explaining the system. And in chapter 17, it explains the blood. I'm going to read beginning in verse 1 down through several verses. Follow along with me. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and to all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox, or a lamb, or goat in the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Notice there had to be a specific place. Just like it was in the night of the Passover in Egypt, it had to be in a specific place. This had to be in a specific place. They were not free agents to do it the way they wanted to do it, however they thought it was best to do it, or try to find a convenient way to do it. Verse 3, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox, lamb, or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord, behold, before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. Simply did not follow instructions. You know, we've got people today doing whatever they want, however they want, when they want. I don't know how many times I've heard this said. I know what the Bible says, but I am under the impression you don't know what the Bible says, or you would. People think they know what the Bible says, and many of them have rewritten it to follow their own ways and desires. But the end of that, they're going to be cut off from the people. Verse 5, to the end that children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door And just to insert it here, Jesus said, I am the door. Unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood, upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. Notice what it says, unto the Lord, unto the Lord, unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offer a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. God had a program, but it had to be followed precisely, correctly, and purposefully, accordingly as God laid it out. Now, chapter 17, verse 10, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth, the blood had to be applied, but the blood also need to be abstained. It had one purpose, and it was not to be eaten. That'd be the same as cannibalism. I know people who eat blood. They eat blood. So here's the second instruction concerning the blood. You better apply it where I tell you, and you don't eat it. It's for application, not diet. I will set my face against that soul. I will set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Now he gives the third, the explanation of the blood. The place of the blood, the abstaining of from the blood as far as dietary food, and now the explanation of the blood. For the life of the flesh, I want you to notice the flesh, is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your, there it is, souls. You got the flesh and you got your souls. The flesh and your souls. The atonement was not for the flesh. The atonement was for the soul. God never provided anything to preserve this flesh. Nothing. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The soul. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. Here, the first part of June. We thank you for the privilege and the honor that we have to meet here in this place at free will, without tyranny, without fear. We thank you that we can meet here today in the presence of Thee. And on this particular Sunday, as we pause and reflect upon the Calvary and the blood that was shed to redeem our poor souls and to give us eternal life, as you have so instructed, do this in remembrance of me. So, Lord, we've read some scripture and we'll read some more that's centered around this Old Testament system, but all parts of it had fingers pointing to the future. Holy Spirit of God, be our guide and our teacher and our reminder as we learn some very important, or be reminded of some very important truths that's centered around the blood. Bless this message and bless all of our hearts as we prepare to take the Lord's table in just a few moments. To the honor and to the glory of Christ we pray. Amen. Now, I'm not going to say anything this morning that's new. If this preacher ever gets into this pulpit and says, I've got something new, you rescue me and take me and have me committed. Because there is nothing new. Maybe said in different ways. Maybe said more often than we'd like. But there is nothing new. Nothing to be added. Nothing to be taken away from. I admit, and be the first to admit, as many times as I study and preach, nearly 43 years now, that I've seen something I never saw before. But that don't make it new. That just means my puny mind and heart had never detected it yet. And so, nothing new. Nothing new. Many times, just a reminder. Now, first, we learned three things. The blood had an appropriate place. The blood had to be abstained from dietary food. And thirdly, we have the explanation of the blood given in verse 17. Now, some principles about the blood and the anatomy of the human body. Flesh gets its life, sustaining life, from the blood. From the blood. We know that. We know that. I had a friend of mine that I grew up with. He had kidney failure, internal bleeding, and I don't know how many units of blood. He was only 46 or 47. Liver totally destroyed due to alcohol and drink. And he was bleeding internally. And I don't know how many units of blood they had given him. And that while trying to stop the internal bleeding, finally he looked at his wife and said, no more. No more. Tell him to stop. And he died. He died. When the blood, and of course the heart, all of these have to work together. That's the way God made the body. The heart pumps this throughout all the different little small veins. In the last year and a half, I've had problems with those wee little tiny veins that you can't hardly see. They're breaking. They're popping. I woke up a year ago, Thanksgiving, and my chest was absolutely covered with red spots. I thought I had the measles. I got into the doctor shortly. They examined me and looked at me, and they said, those are little small blood vessels. You've had bad rash there over the years. That's weakened those little vessels, and they're popping. And they'll do that continually. If you see red blotches on my neck, and that's those little vessels. They just pop. They just pop. And they're you can't hardly see them under a microscope. They're so small. But all of those are designed to keep these human bodies alive. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And you know as well as I do, there are diseases of the blood. A good preacher friend of mine had leukemia. He battled leukemia for 10, 12 years at high dollar, high-dollar medicine to keep him going. He's with the Lord now. Didn't die of leukemia, died of a heart attack. But there's diseases. There's diseases when the red corpuscle and the white get all mixed up, and it's all messed up, and Greg certainly knows all about that with his disease. And so there's complications. There can be complications with the blood. But I tell you today, emphatically, when it comes to the blood of Christ, there are no complications. As we'll see in just a moment, as we turn to the New Testament, the blood is called the blood of God. Never flowed through man's veins. He never got blood from Mary. He never had a human father. And an infant never gets its blood from the mother. It gets its blood through the conception, and it comes from the father. From the father. That's why we had a virgin birth. The blood comes from the male, not the female. And this blood's corrupt. It runs through our veins. It can get diseased, and it can cause all kinds of different trouble and problems and so forth. And we have medicines that can treat it. And sometimes it's untreatable and we pass away from it. So life, human life, is in the blood. It's in the blood. I bleed easy and I bruise easy. I looked down the other day and I've got a spot on my arm. It's getting bigger. All over my arm. I bumped myself somewhere. I'm on blood thinner, because another problem with blood is it clots. And you get a clot in your heart, it'll kill you, or in your lung. Peggy's brother, Fred Hunter, had a stroke a few months ago. Now he's dealing with serious blood clots. We've been praying for him. So they try to get your blood thin and keep you on thinner so it won't clot and kill you. There's all kinds of complications in man's blood and life. But without the blood, there is no human life. That's the main reason why God chose blood. Because it represents, number one, blood represents life. That's why God says, don't eat it. Don't eat it. Because it represents life. And life comes from God. So don't eat it. Not only did it have an appropriate place it had to be put, but secondly, it was not in the dietary food. It had to be abstained. So the first principle we learn here in verse 11 of chapter 17 is human life. Human life is in the blood. Now when the heart stops, blood ceases to flow, and the body dies because there's no blood flow. Diabetics have that problem. Our friend Randy had that problem where he had to have amputated certain toes and things. Mel just lost his leg not long ago because the blood was not getting to the foot. Blood was not going down, and it was dying and turning black because it was not getting sufficient blood flow. You got to have blood. You got to have blood if you want to live. If you want to live, you got to have blood. You got to have that blood flowing. Blood flowing to keep all your body healthy and so forth. I was put on blood thinner 16 years ago. My heart doctor told me, he said, I don't care what doctor ever tells you to get off this blood thinner, don't you do it. I'm telling you right now, stay on indefinitely the rest of your life. And I've had to have doctors I've told that to who wanted to take me off of it. Now, second is the application of the blood in this verse 11. Notice he says, verse 11, I have given it, that's the blood, I have given it, the blood, to you, upon the altar. That is the sacrifice altar, the brazen altar. When the tabernacle got erected and all of that, at the entrance of the tabernacle was a large altar. Every sacrifice had to be offered upon that altar. It was the altar of God. Every sacrifice. Nobody had the liberty to just sacrifice something at home and go their own way. Do it their own way, not God's way. Nobody had that liberty. It's either God's way or no way. And we just read that. That's why I read previous verses starting at verse 1. You got to bring it to the altar. You got to bring it to the appropriate place. Why? Now he's going to explain why. I have given it to you. I've given you blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. So, we've learned the principle that blood represents life. Second, God gave an appropriate place in His program and in the ceremonial law to where it was to be applied. Thirdly, what it did. It made an atonement, not for your flesh, but for your souls. Now, I looked that word atonement up. I have in the past, but it had been some time since I looked it up. And, boy, it had a list about that big paragraph of different things that it meant. In the Hebrew. I'm going to run my eye down through here and name a few of them. What atonement means. To cover, to condone, to appease, to cleanse, to disannul, to forgive, to be merciful, to pardon, to reconcile. All of those words in the English come under one word from the Hebrew, which our English word is atonement, and has all of those meanings all within it. I have given the blood. It's going to be on the altar to make an atonement for your souls. That's why on the night of the Passover, I told you to take the blood. I told you to apply it because death's coming. Death's coming. And that's why I told you to apply it at an appropriate place and put that blood there, and death would not touch you because blood's a representative of life. Death cannot touch where blood is flowing. Death can't handle or control in any way where there is blood. I'll pass over you. They said, now we're out of Egypt, and now you'll have a more of an appropriate place. There'll be a tabernacle erected. And outside, you find this in Numbers, so forth, in the latter part of Exodus, in preparation for Leviticus and the ceremonial law. What to build, how to build it, how big to build it, and so forth. And in them instructions was an altar, brazen altar, where all the sacrifices were to be slain. The blood. Your blood from your sacrifice must be upon that altar. Why? Because the blood is life. And I have it upon an appropriate place, an altar. And I put it there. I'm having you put it there for the purpose to make an atonement for your souls, to reconcile your soul, to pardon your soul, to be merciful to your soul, to forgive your soul, to cleanse your soul. I have done that. I did that. So it was an act of faith, for them to take the blood, the representation of life, and put it on an altar of death so that they might live. To take the blood, the symbol of life, and put it upon the altar of death. That brazen altar only meant one thing, death. Three altars, and you got to go this way. You enter the presence of God by death. Then you go into the next compartment, the holy place, and there is a small altar before the curtain, the altar of incense. And you pass through and into the presence of God, and there is the mercy seat where all the blood was taken once a year for the forgiveness of the nation of Israel by the high priest. So the blood from the brazen altar taken down through under the curtain into the presence of God and sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat so God would forgive, God would pardon, God would cleanse. And they learned that system. And it all took place in the tabernacle. And then eventually, as they got into Jerusalem, and Solomon built the temple. It is, the last part of verse 11, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. Your flesh lives because of the blood. Your soul will live because of the blood. Your flesh will live because of the blood. Your soul will live because of the blood. The blood will make an atonement for your soul. To forgive, to pardon, to cleanse. And then the false teachers, the false preachers, the false religions come along and totally annihilate and butcher the truth of the Word of God. Frosty taught a great Sunday school lesson again this morning. Great. And I say, and I agree with him, we've got so many out there today that's totally disregarding the Bible and the Word of God, trying to change it. This church, as long as I'm pastor of it and able to continue, will never change its doctrine, theology, its songs. We get so many comments on our old-fashioned godly music and on the preaching of the Word of God. But most of all, we want to please the Father in heaven. Now, he goes on to remind him in verse 12 and down through, don't eat the blood, you've abstained from it. You don't. That's not in your dietary food, but anyway. But we've learned some very important principles. The flesh lives because of the blood. The soul will live because of the blood. But we're dealing with animals in the Old Testament. We're dealing with animals. Now, we're going to go to the New Testament. Stop off in the Gospel of John, just for a moment. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, that means take notice. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, he is introducing, just like Malachi said he would, he is introducing God's Lamb. And he's here for one purpose, and that's to take away the sin of the world. He shall save the people from their sins. Now, just like Leviticus explained Exodus, Hebrews explains Leviticus. May I say that one more time? Just like Leviticus explains Exodus, the book of Hebrews explains Leviticus. Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 9. The blood is being denied today. John MacArthur, who is an older man now out in California, and I had the book on the book of Hebrews that he wrote, and John MacArthur declared in that book, the blood of Jesus Christ does not save. He said it. I don't care what he says now. He said it. And he's never come out and apologized for it or made a correction for it. He simply said, the blood of Jesus Christ does not save. Now, we learned two things very important back there before we left. We know human life lives because of the blood. And we know now that the soul will be atoned, which means to be pardoned, forgiven, cleansed, or whatever. And we know that's the blood. The blood gives human life, and the blood gives spiritual life. The soul. We know that. That's definitely declared in the book of Leviticus. That's that Old Testament ceremonial law. Now, when you come to the book of Hebrews, these are Jews. Many of them have been saved. They were saved at the day of Pentecost, where over 5,000 were saved at one day. Shortly after that, 8,000 more of them got saved. And the Lord was adding daily. And these were primarily Jews that was coming to Christ. And they understood that Old Testament system. They understood the ceremonial law. Their forefathers practiced it, the priesthood and so forth. So Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, I believe Paul to be the author, to explain to them, you're worshiping an old system that was only a typology. So he's going to correct them. We don't have the time this morning to read a lot, but I want to read a few where Hebrews explains Leviticus like Leviticus explained Exodus. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats, calves, but by his own blood. His own blood. Now, I stopped off in John for a purpose. When John the Baptist introduced him to the world, primarily to the nation of Israel. And what did he call him? Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And as Paul is explaining this Old Testament system here in the book of Hebrews, he says, it's not by that old tabernacle. Verse 11 says it's not by that old tabernacle. That old tabernacle was only a picture. And neither is it by the blood of those sacrifices, but by His own blood. The blood of the Lamb of God. The blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they that are called might receive the promises of eternal inheritances. He goes on to tell. Notice, if you will, over in verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the truth, speaking of that Old Testament system and the tabernacle. He has not entered into this thing made by hands or made by man, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God with us. Now, verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often. Religion sacrificed him every day. Then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once to the end. I'm sorry, I didn't finish verse 25. Often as the high priest enters the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I'd like to read one more verse in Hebrews. In chapter 10, verse 29, because of the time, verse 29 of chapter 10, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be that thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath despised the Spirit of grace. And there he goes on to tell concerning how man treats the doctrine of the blood. By reading those verses and the clarification of Hebrews explaining Leviticus, the blood of animals were temporary. Blood represents life. That blood was an atonement that God used temporarily to cover their sins, to pardon them, and so forth, until the Lamb of God would come. Then the Lamb of God would come and shed His own blood. And then that blood would be applied to our hearts. And by that blood, our souls enter into eternal life. And just as our flesh has lived with blood, so now our soul will live eternally, eternal redemption by His own blood. And it's a doctrine that's being denied. A doctrine that's being scoffed. They call it the bloody religion. Well, I want to tell you, it's bloody because sin is ugly. There was nothing pretty about Calvary. Nothing pretty. Now, in closing, I want to turn back to 1 Peter, and I've read this passage many times. I want to insert it right here in closing this morning. Emphasis of the blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, again, Hebrew Christians, who was going back to that old ceremonial system, that Moses gave under the law. Going back to it. Why would anybody want to play with a picture when you can have the real thing? That's what religion does. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, that means bought. Redeemed means to buy, to purchase. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, and he gives you some suggestions. You're not purchased or redeemed with such things that's corruptible, like as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers. That's not going to redeem you. That system was never given to redeem you. Here's how you are redeemed in verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. There it is. How are you redeemed? How are you brought back? How are you pardoned, reconciled? How do you receive the mercy of God? How do you get forgiveness? How do you have your past disannulled? How are you cleansed and canceled? How is that all possible? It's atonement. It's done by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the blood of Jesus Christ only. Pictured by the Old Testament, explained in the Old Testament as a system ceremonially until the Lamb of God would come. And then when the Lamb of God would come and give the ultimate sacrifice of His life on Calvary, and His blood was shed, and He took that blood, I run out of time, I'd like to read it, He took His own blood into the presence of God to be there for you and I. And when God looks upon you this morning, and when God looks upon me today, He is looking just like He did on the night of the Exodus. He's looking for the blood. And when it's our time to pass over from this life into the next, He's not going to have a big book and look and see how much good we did and how much bad we did and these things and that thing. He's going to be looking for one thing. Has the blood been applied? And if the blood of Christ has been applied, death will pass over you and your soul will live forever in the eternal boat of God. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Thank God this morning that we can have this opportunity to have a memorial, a remembrance of what Christ did for you and I. If you're not saved this morning, if you're not sure you're saved this morning, after the service is over, I usually sit up here in the front. You come this morning, I take a Bible. You can take Christ home in your heart today, and the blood can be applied immediately. It don't take long for God to put the blood on your heart. That's what He's looking for this morning. He's not looking for your goodness. He's not looking for your greatness. He's looking, has the blood been applied? Is the atonement of their soul been made? Personally, not family, not collectively, but individually, has the blood been applied. And just like blood keeps your life physically, blood will keep your life spiritually. It will permit your soul to live forever in the presence of God. So this morning, by way of the Lord's table, we observe this, and man, if you'd come this morning and get the Lord's table ready, we will observe it. There's nothing mystical about this. Nothing mystical. It's simply a remembrance. Larry, can I move your guitar? If I break it, I'll run. Be seated. Jesus explained for the hour in that upper room the night before he died to his disciples. Paul wasn't there. Paul got saved on the road to Damascus a lot later. He was not there. God took Paul into the Arabian desert for 3 years. Personal one-on-one, God taught Paul. And one of the things that God taught Paul in the Arabian desert as he spent 3 years there concerning the Lord's table, because Paul wasn't there. He wasn't there. So I'm just going to read this and then we'll observe the elements. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night, he refers to the same night, but he wasn't there. But he received it from the Lord. How the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup. In the New Testament is my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In the physical life, blood was totally exempt from the dietary food. The blood. Don't eat the blood. In the New Testament, we're instructed as we participate in this, symbolically, we are to take the blood. Take the blood. I've been asked, isn't that a contradiction? Isn't that a contradiction? It would be if the blood of the flesh would be here. But it's not the blood of the flesh. It's the blood of God. And we're not drinking blood. We're drinking the fruit of the vine called grape juice. That's what he instructed them. The fruit of the vine. He's the first fruit. So we have today unleavened bread. Leaven speaks of sin. Christ's body was without sin. His life was without sin. He's the only one to live upon this earth sinless. He who knew no sin became our sin. So the bread speaks of his body. The cup speaks of his blood. As the Lord's table was so instructed. And so they're elements that picture the body and the blood. Picture. But we are to symbolically take it. Symbolically take it. Because when God looks upon my heart today and my soul, all he sees is the blood. All he sees is the blood. Thank God for the wonderful blood of Jesus Christ, who redeemed us and bought us. So the men will distribute this. We'll distribute the blood, the bread first. Please hold it and take it. We'll take it in unison. After the men come back, we'll have prayer. We'll take it. We'll do the same thing likewise. We will not do that because we have new things today. You're going to get the cup and you're going to get the bread and the cup juice together. And Frosty went through and tried to free up the little... Boy, I'll tell you, today's stuff's sealed. I wish the video camera could be in our kitchen from time to time. When I try to get it open, and she tries to get it open, and neither one of us can get it open. So the old scissors comes into hand, and you just cut it open. Because it is sealed. So they've sealed these things so nobody can tamper with it. They will, which we live. But he's kind of broken that seal, so... Hopefully it'll help you some. But we'll just deliver it one time. We'll have one prayer for the... But we'll take it separately. All right? We'll have prayer. We'll take the bread. Then we'll come back. We'll take prayer, and then we'll take the cup. I think I'll get it right here eventually. All right? Thank you. distribute that, please. Be seated. You get burned. All right, I meant to say before, you do not have to be a member of this church. A lot of churches have closed communion, and you can't take it unless you're a member. The Lord's Supper is the Lord's Supper, not First Baptist Church's Supper or any other church's Supper. It's the Lord's Supper. So you don't have to be a member. Does anybody want to take it? You did not get served? Anyone? Okay. I meant to mention that before. All right. We'll have Greg ask the Lord to bless the bread before we take it. Amen. May he eat. As the bread represents his body, the cup represents his blood. Rich, we ask you, ask the Lord to bless the cup. Amen. May we partake. Atonement. Forgiven. Forgiven. Pardoned. Hallelujah. Life eternal. Eternal redemption. Amen. All right. Thank you for being out this morning. Choir practice tonight at 5:30. Our evening service will continue with our subject, leftovers. This is not went where I thought it was going to go. I thought it was going to go for one Sunday or two Sunday nights. It's going to go into a series. But anyway, we welcome you back tonight if you can be with us. All right. Shall we stand, be dismissed in prayer? We'll ask Dean to dismiss us in prayer.
Father, we just thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, Father, that He made on that cross, Father. Understanding that without the remission, without the blood, there's no remission.
Yep.
Lord, we just thank you for that sacrifice. That is the foundation of our faith.
Amen.
We walk away from that, Lord Jesus.
Yep.
We have walked away from the gospel.
Yep.
Father, we just thank you for the shed blood, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to just be with us as we go our separate ways. We pray to you, Lord, after all.
Amen. Thank you for being out this morning.